has increased with riches and have need of nothing at this age. But there the scripture says, don't set your affections on them. Set them on what's truly above. Amen. Let's turn to page 7 in the spiral songbook if you have it near you. I am thinking of a rapture in their blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll praise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing o'er the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption stories with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear His invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Gathering together unto Him. Amen. Let's turn to page 392 in your songbook. Amen. We're so gathered unto Him because He gives us the freedom. Amen. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. And hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin I sank low. We've all been there. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Hallelujah. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Are you happy for that this morning? Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Praise God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through save me grace. And thank God I am free. Free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to page 94. Sing this. We haven't sung this song in a while. We know there's a gathering that's happening now, but what a great gathering that'll be in the air. Amen. Glorious, I do declare, and God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Oh, you have heard of living. joyously. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. Oh, there are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting. Are you happy for that? Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. To be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Many things will be there missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There'll never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will no be mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens will be, anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Tis be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. There the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the angels will be busy far away. Oh, there the saints will have this seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiments none that ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garment present at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting. And let's sing that last verse again. Oh, there the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the angels will be busy far away. There the saints will have their seal of, that's you and me, dressed in raiment none but ransomed one can wear. And all who have the wedding garment will be present at that meeting in the air. Let's all stand. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that verse where it says, and the seal will be upon their forehead, dressed in raiment, and those who have the wedding garment will be present. Amen. We're dressed with the word. I believe that kind of meeting is like we're having this morning. Amen. Just shake one another's hands and greet him in the name of the Lord as we sing that chorus once more. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Sing it out to him. Oh, there will going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Tis be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Amen. Hallelujah. What a day. Let's change the order of the service as Brother Wade comes out this morning. You love the Lord this morning, yes. Expecting to hear from him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Lord, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart. Jesus, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. So high and lifted up, oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you here today. We need to lift up prayer for Brother Dale. He's home there watching, and pray that the Lord will be with him and bring him out of all this. And everybody else too, Brother Dick and all the ones that are sick, Sister Jean, all the different ones. We are, the world's looking at all this coronavirus and all this stuff, and you know what it does? It just puts fear in the heart of people. But the Bible tells us, fear not. Amen. You know, I was listening to the radio the other day, and you pick up little tidbits. 365 days are in a year, right? Besides this leap year, which is yesterday, y'all had an extra day, right? So you felt a lot older because you had an extra day yesterday. But 365 days in a year, do you know that exactly 365 times in the Bible, it says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. Fear not, because what does fear? Fear brings torment. So let's forget about all this fear that the world is bringing on to us, and let's just think about the Word of God. If we worried more about our soul than we did our body, we might be all right. But if you got your Bibles, we're going to continue with revival. I sat in yesterday trying to figure out if we needed to continue or not, and I believe the Lord gave us some thought for a couple more sermons, and Brother Dale couldn't be able to be here this morning. So this is an oddity to not have our pastor with us in the building. Most of the time he can, but for his safety's sake and his body, he's wore out. He's tired. Let him rest. All right. We'll just lift him up in prayer. So, Psalms 138:8, we're going to do part 10 and 11. There's one thing I have not covered. That is where the Bible tells us in Amos about being a famine in the land, not of food and water. Lord, we got plenty of that. But it's a famine for hearing the Word of God. But we'll speak more of that this afternoon. This morning, we're just going to background a little bit and fill in some gaps that we have kind of skipped over in this service. Of this revival series. Remember, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Brother Luis is in Jacksonville with the group down there. I believe he spoke Friday night. He's at Brother Keith Brown's today, maybe, or yesterday. But just remember him in prayer coming back home. Remember Brother Aaron Wednesday night. Next Saturday, remember, March the 7th, at 3 o'clock, we'll start our youth Bible study. We'll have pizza at 3 o'clock, and then the service starts right thereafter. Brother John will be leading the singing. Brother Luis will be doing speaking. Then we'll have questions and answers. Also remember, next Saturday night, change your clocks. Spring forward. There you go. Yeah, praise. No, it's not. We'll lose an hour. You get my age, you take all hours you can get. But spring forward, so set you. Yeah, well, that's right. Thank you for reminding me of that, Sister Freedom. But spring forward, so next Saturday night, don't forget to turn your clock forward, and we'll be back on whatever this is. Regular time, I guess. That was daylight saving. This is regular time. And also time change, I'm trying to remember all this. March the 10th, Brother Dale's going to go for his shoulder surgery. So keep him in your prayer that all this will clear up so he can get that done. He's suffered with it for a long time. His shoulder's been all tore up. So we believe in doctors. Amen. That's what I told him this morning. I said, look, Brother Bob had some emergency in his pocket, you know, vitamin C. My sister Trudy McMillan, about two or three years ago, she said, you're not taking enough vitamin C. So I take 2,000 milligrams in the morning and 2,000 milligrams in the afternoon, and I have not had a cold for 3 years. But I take it every day. Don't do like people come into our honey store and they'll tell June about right now. They'll come in, I need something for my allergies. No, that's already, you needed it way before that. You know, Mom's World's worse. I'm going to call her out. Mom's World's worse. You take vitamin C, she'll take two pills and say, I'm sick. You got to get it in your body. Get it in your system. Listen, God give us all these vitamins to take to help, because listen, you know, our food is horrible. Our food has all the vitamins sucked out of it. All the bad things are in it, and all the good things are being cooked out of it. So God give us, I believe he gave us everything in the earth to take care of our needs. So take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C in the morning and 2,000 in the afternoon. It's not going to hurt you. It'll keep you from getting the flu. So let's see, March the 10th. Let me get on down the road here. March the 20th through the 23rd, Sister June and I will be in Oklahoma, so keep us in your prayers when we travel then. We'll be going to visit Brother Claude and Sister Ginger for a few days. Hadn't been out there in a couple of years, so we're going to head out. June the 18th through the 20th, remember, we're getting a good list of the people for our Father's Day fishing excursion and weekend or week of having fun Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So haven't heard back from Brother Aaron McGarry, but I'll call him today or tonight and find out if he's going to be with us, and he'll be speaking for us that weekend if he can come. So Psalms 138:8, all minds clear. Just remember the ones that are not here. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us today, Father, that we are truly, as the prophet of God told us, every generation gets weaker and weaker. The food we eat is actually killing us, where a long time ago it actually sustained our life and made us strong. But Lord, according to the fall, everything that came out of the ground, you cursed back in the garden. But Lord, you sent an advocate, you sent a high priest, you sent Jesus Christ on the earth to take away all that. We're just trying now to get this thing through the ministry of the gospel to get us turned back to that foundation of before the fall, where everything, Lord, was restored back to its rightful position. You promised you'd do that. You sent a prophet in the end time to tell us what you've already said. And I pray today, Lord, that the words we're speaking will be your words, Lord, and not ours. That the hearer, Lord, may hear and receive revelation, because we crave revelation more than anything, Lord, being the bride in the end time. In a way, Lord, that no one else has been, it's not been laid on anyone else, Lord, but us, to have a resurrection, Lord. All those dead saints coming out of the ground in glorified eternal bodies. And Lord, then we'll be changed and then we'll be taken out of here. And then the world can do what they want to do, but Lord, we'll be safe in your arms. We'll be over in that glorious dimension where there's no hurt, no sorrow, no pain, no flus, no sickness. Lord, I pray that you would be with each one here in the building, Lord, that we would truly, Lord, look to you and not look to man for our answers. That we'll look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And that what we do have today will become a revival in our heart. And it'll take care of all these diseases. Lord, the first disease is a disease of the heart, of the soul of man. Lord, we, by the new birth, has been cleaned out. But Father, some may not be in that position yet, Lord. But we truly need a cleaning of our spirit, Lord. We need a cleaning, Lord, that'll clean those flues out as we're getting ready to speak again, Lord, about you, how that you came and cleaned us out, Lord, and caused a revival on this earth. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Be with the ones that are not here. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. In Jesus' name we ask these things. And the bride of Jesus Christ says, amen. Psalms 138:8. We're just going to review just a little bit. And then we will try to set a stage for this afternoon and talk about a famine. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now that's the right hand of power. We know that. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. We're dependent on him. We can't be perfect in ourselves. We're dependent on him. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's read Psalms 85:1, and then you'll be seated. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You may be seated, and the Lord have his blessing to the reading of the word. But while you got your Bibles open, or if you don't have your Bible, let's read here. This is the, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind today, that we're going to talk tonight or this afternoon about famine and what the Lord said in the Bible in Amos 8, if you'll pull that up. I was thinking about this yesterday. We've been talking about waters and cleansing and all these different things. And look what Amos says, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. So it's coming. I say it's here. That I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or thirst for water. My heavenly days. We've had enough rain in the past 3 weeks to take care of that. But listen, we have clean drinking water. Truly, we have all the food we can eat. And then some. But God is not talking about that. He's not talking about a famine of bread nor a thirst for water. But of hearing the words of the Lord. All right? Now look. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of God, a word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. That takes me back to the five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. The five foolish virgins, they are faint because they turned part of the word down and they didn't get the new birth. All right? So in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Now what we're talking about, it's just like you're leading to a horse to water and it doesn't drink, or you say a little fish is, well, I better be careful drinking the water out of the ocean. I may drink it all up. But God's an inexhaustible fountain. There's no way that it's going to ever dry up. We even know that the river of life, there was rivers in the Garden of Eden, and then we polluted them as man, but then that pure water shows right back up in the Book of Revelations, flowing out, the river of life flowing out from under the throne eternally. It's not gonna flood, Brother John. It's not gonna dry up. It's gonna what? Flow. Because God brought everything back. But how did He bring it back? He didn't bring it back by natural water. He brought it back by you and I coming to a position because of the washing of water by the Word, that we've come to a place that can flow freely in us. And I was thinking yesterday, you say, well, and you know me, I don't care much for laundry list of do's and don'ts, but when we come to this revival, if you don't have a revival inside of you today, you know it. You know it. Because you're with you 24/7. Amen? So who's the problem? This is the problem right here. All right, so let's work on that. Because what a revival will do is stir up what you already got. What happens sometimes, in being in beekeeping, we have we use essential oils in our sugar water. When they can't get sugar water, we give them sugar water. Plus, we put a little vitamins in there, some vitamin C or some citric acid. And we put things in there to help the bees because they can't get it all because y'all are killing it all with this Roundup and all this stuff y'all use. So I'm preaching on bees now. So anyway, but we take these essential oils, though, and we mix it with water. Well, we emulsify it to a degree, but what happens if it sets over time? Some of you sisters know, and many people know, that if you leave something somewhere long enough, it separates. Right. Oil's at the top, water's at the bottom. What do you do, though? Now you haven't added any more in it. You haven't taken any chemical out. You're just shaking up what's already in the bottle. Well, that's what Brother Branham says in the resurrection of Lazarus. He said it's just a stirring up of what you already know about. Right. What you already know, you just haven't used. The Bible says exercise. Amen. Exercise what? Exercise your faith in what you know. Now you say, well, I don't know this, I don't know that. That comes by washing the water of the Word. Have you made yourself available for that? Because remember, the prophet of God said ignorance might be, they may have pled ignorance back whenever, but you can't plead ignorance now because the full book's been open. Everything's been given us, the 7-course meal, the full plate, everything. And it's free. It's free. Let's see what Brother Brown says. Let's go and read this. I've got two prayers in here. I found another one. We'll read it a little bit later, maybe this afternoon. But Brother Brown said, recognizing your day in this message, he said, God created me a revival. Let me be the revival. That's our problem. We've been waiting for Brother Aaron to start a revival. We've been waiting for Brother David to start a revival. Sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Work on the home ground. Because if you start one, guess what? You started it. God started it in you. There's nothing nobody else can do with it. Except it be contagious and somebody else grab a hold of it and they start a revival. Because we have to realize, number one, you got to realize that what? Everything was in the bottle. It just got separated because of lack of use. But if they can shake it up, get a preacher, get a Sunday school teacher, get the prophet of God to stir it up. What? You're stirring up what you already got. Like I said before, everybody wants to know what the great seventh seal is and what the great this is. It's nothing external. Nothing. Zero. That's what we've been looking for. A great somebody, a great something, California to fall, the government to come in and take over, the money. Everything Brother Brown said is going to come to pass. But now what did the Bible say? Look up when you see these things, for your redemption draweth nigh. And some of these things that we see, you know what's going to happen? If we wait until this happens, wait until that happens, there's going to be a voice, the prophet of God said, is going, because you know what you're going to say? I thought this was supposed to happen, I thought this was supposed to happen, and I thought this was supposed to happen. What did Brother Ram say? He said a little voice would come to you and tell you, you missed it. You missed it. Why? Because you were looking for this and not looking for the giver. You were looking for all these other things. God created me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. The revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine more consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you, more able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work. More looking to the things that are positive and forgetting things that are in the past. The negatives. Let me press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen. And then the next one is what I just quoted a minute ago in the resurrection of Lazarus. Brother Brown said, what this church needs today is a good revival. Not a new doctrine. Not a seven thunder opening of whatever. We already got that. It's the full plan of redemption. And even the prophet of God has said, prophet of God said, thousands of lived voices is what Satan hates. That's the thunder that Satan can't stand. He can't stand you living the word of God. Amen. He can't stand it. What this church needs is a good revival, not a new doctrine or a new order, just a stirring up of what you already know about. That oil and that wine and all the different things that the Bible tells us about. Now listen, we have to hear the word of God. But I'm telling you one more time, if you're waiting for the sun to stand still, or the clouds or the moon to turn to darkness, all those things have already happened. A lot of that stuff's already happened. You just might have been looking in the wrong direction. But if you're waiting for that all to happen, you may be too late. If you're looking for, you know, we always, and we do ask the question, well, you know, the biggest question is, are we going to be here when California sinks? I don't care. I really don't care. But if you put that at the top of your list, you might as well be the only thing on your list. Because you're not going to do anything until California sinks. And what if we're already gone when it sinks? What if the great resurrection and the rapture shakes this whole world and drops California in the ocean? You better be ready before that time comes. Amen. That's what a revival is. We're sitting here and we've got the word of God. It's a word revival. We know that, Brother Wade. We got the word of God. But what are we doing about it? Right. You say, oh, we're sick. That has nothing to do with it. Zero. Prophet of God said, cloudy days doesn't mean God's against you. Sunny days don't mean he's for you. You may have bills piled up this high and you may have $10 million in the bank. That don't make you no better Christian. Might make you a better person, but it won't make you no better Christian either way because God's not judging you on the wealth that you have in this earth except for the wealth that you got in your soul. What is a man that gains the whole world but loses his soul? Soul food. Pardon the black brothers. Soul food is what we need. Amen? You've been asking for soul food. Let's all ask for soul food. We all need soul food. And when you come in and say amen, you know what? You're eating on soul food. Everybody all right? All right, let's look at number three. Then we begin to find out miracles isn't taking place no more like they were. The sick go home sick. It isn't because of God. It's because of the lack of the revival among the people. There is no revival. They sit and listen, go home and say, well, I guess that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. See, there's not that zeal. Now, we covered this before. There's not a something you want to grab a hold to. There's not that something in the people that should be there. Well, listen, the only person that knows that is you. Not me. Remember, the preacher can't bring a revival. We've read those quotes over and over for about nine other sermons. Preacher can't bring a revival. I can only, Brother Dale, all the ministers can only what? Get you to see what God's already done and that we do need a word revival. We've already had different revivals of different things. We need a word revival to where the word of God, and you say, well, what is that? Well, what does the word tell you to do? The word of God, here we go. We're going to do a laundry list. It tells you, sisters, don't cut your hair. Okay? I mean, here, you know, don't wear pants. All these different things. If you can check them off. I was reading a quote where Brother Branham, I'll bring it up. I wasn't going to do it, but I'll do it now. Brother Branham was in this meeting, and he said, I preached away. And he said, I preached on sin of every kind. And he said, a good little saint and a little Baptist woman walked up to me after the service, and she said, Brother Branham said, you weren't preaching on me today. Said, all those things I don't do. Said, she walked off, and Brother Branham said he was standing there. Said, another woman walked up and said, what was she telling you? And he said, well, said she that I preached on sin and preached on all these things and said, didn't hit her, none of what. Said, she's never done none of them. Kind of like a rich young ruler. He said, that sister leaned over and said, Brother Branham, she's the worst gossiper in the whole church. He said, that was the one thing I didn't hit on. So she could say, he wasn't preaching on me because of the laundry list. But now the gossiping, he didn't preach on. So she must have been free from all that. But it was kind of funny where, you know, Brother Branham, I believe everything Brother Branham did was ordained of God under the auspice of the word. Now, I'm not talking about a human being where he has to eat and have children. No, but when he was walking, when he found the brook, when this lady walks up, when this other lady, these two ladies says, one he called me a buzzard and one he called me an eagle. All those things were a life of a prophet to show us that God was dealing with him so that he can deal with me and you in the same way. Amen. So I'm not here today to tell you if you're a gossiper, you shouldn't gossip, but you got all these things. You should know. It's been preached. All these things have been preached. We should know these things. There's not a zeal. There's something in the people that should be there. What is it? It's a stirring up. Are you to realize you don't have it? Because there's all these things in it. You say, well, I've not got my healing. I mean, you know, me and June and I have been praying for our children for years and nothing's happened. Well, you know what? You keep praying. Amen. Something will happen. Yes. If you stop, God knew you were going to stop. And he doesn't have to do anything else after that because he only goes by your confession. What you confess. Amen? Amen? So don't stop. Those who endure to the end. Have you ever heard that scripture? Amen. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. I'm not an advocate of deathbed confessions, but if it'll get them in glory with me, so be it. Amen. But the Bible said you'll be there with the offspring. Now, be there means be there. Amen. Amen. So let's just realize what we've got. We need to give it out. Amen. To our family. Live that thing. Listen, I'm going to tell you, all of you, something. There was not an... I'm off on the rabbit trail here. All right, I'll get back in a minute. But you say, we say we want our children saved and we want our see our children in church, and you come half the time. Half the time. There was never an option when we were in, when we were growing up. Anna shaking her head, Terrence would be shaking his head, Mama shaking her head, I'm shaking my head, Daddy was here to shake his head. Some of y'all, I think you get up on Sunday morning and go, it's Sunday. Oh, church. It wasn't an option. We knew we were going to church on Sunday. Both services. Our parents drug us. They drugged us. We were on drugs till we were about 18. They drug us to church every Sunday. Young people, I don't want it to be a drug. I want you to be happy to come to church. That was my problem and their problem too. It was just because we had to. I don't want that to be that. I want you to come to church to worship God. I want you to listen to what God has to say. And you say, well, I got these problems. That's why we opened this thing up to the youth group. Because they do have problems. You can't just say, that's not a problem. Right. No, we went through it ourselves. If you'll remember back, you know, there's things that we didn't go through. That they go through now. But, same devil. And the same results. Same devil, same results. He'll drive you away from church. He'll drive you away from each other. Satan does not want you to fellowship.
Amen.
I said before, I tell you again, I talked to a preacher a couple months ago. He got so depressed because he heard people was saying that he didn't preach deep enough doctrine. Then he was gone all the time. Now that may have been a problem. But anyway, he's been, and all these different things. So the first thing the preacher did was, is had an old wowsy wowsy woo, oh woe is me party, and he went and separated himself from fellowship. Stayed in the motel for 2 days. He said, that's exactly what the devil wanted me to do. He said, I thought I was going to get away to talk to God. He said, but the devil was there talking to me when I got there. Okay? So that's the same thing with you and I. As I told the church before, we're sheep. We're lambs. We are herd animals. That's why God herds us here on Wednesday night and herds us here on Sunday. Because of what happens when the animal leaves the herd. Wolf will separate one person. And you know what happens after that? He'll kill them. He'll eat them. But if we stay together, bind together. I'm not saying we're not. I'm just telling you to look at these things. Brother Brown said, bind closer as the day comes. Bind closer together. Pray for each other. But there's not that zeal. There's not that something in the people that should be. Listen, that something's got to come.
Amen.
That something's got to be here. Be glad and rejoice. You children of Zion, Joel 2:23. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to anyway. How much real studying do we do during the week? How much real studying? Now listen, my study, and I don't know why I'm doing this, but I got about another hour, so I'm going to take my time. So when we... My studying is different from yours. I can be driving a mail Jeep. I know some of y'all can't do two things at once. But I can drive a mail Jeep and be thinking about God. I can think about one word, or you do the same thing. But let it be a time, though, that there is a time that you sit somewhere.
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
And talk to Him.
Yes.
Talk to Him. Nobody else. But do you ever just grab your Bible? Just start reading. Now, us ministers are different. We have to, every Sunday and every Wednesday, we have to get a channel. But you can study many different things as laity. But you know what will happen? If you'll start studying and it'll be something that you have a question about, I'll promise you. Sister Milka's smiling and shaking her head because she knows it. God will absolutely either change my sermon or Brother Dale's sermon or send us down another direction just to help you. I was in Oklahoma several years ago, and you know me, I have to have, they all know, I have my zip drive and I got my notes and we go right by these. If I lost these, I'd probably shut up. But that's the way a teacher is. I had an evangelist tell me one time, he said, I don't preach like you, I preach by inspiration. I thought, well, I'm not inspired, then I need to quit. I just took it as what he said. But we were in Oklahoma and we were at Brother Claude's house and I had my two sermons ready to go. Revival 10 and 11. No, it wasn't that. It was something else. God woke me up at 6:30 that morning on Sunday, popped me straight up in the bed and said, preach on this right here. Now, buddy, that rattled my chain and my brain. Because I'd never done that before. I'd never just opened the Bible and preached a sermon. Especially two. But I'll tell you the story behind that is, though, I preached on, God told me what to preach on. He said, preach on Abraham. Now, that's all he said. Preach on Abraham. Woke me straight up. Said, preach on Abraham. So I had remembered I had just several months ago went through the series where Brother Branham preached on Abraham. Chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 and typed the believer, the walk of the believer. Well, I had no notes. All I had was just what was in my head. But anyway, so I brought that forth and it was good. I stumbled through a few things, but it was all right. And then after the service, this sister come up to me and she said, Brother Wade, she said, that's exactly, because her family had come. She said, that's exactly what me and my family had talked about the night before. And they had some questions and she said, you answered every one of them. Now see that. Is going by the lead. That's God. Listen, it's not God being nothing for me. It ain't making me nothing. It's making you, because you were the one, they're the ones that had the connection. I didn't. They changed my sermon.
Right.
They changed it. Because of what? A question that her family had that they had talked about the night before that she couldn't answer the question. She said, you answered every one of them. So that's what we're looking at. Sometimes we do go off on rabbit trails and things, but somebody's here to get it. Joel 2, be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you. He give this to you. He hath given you the former rain, for giving you the rain. Now what? Remember, rain is what? Rain is revival. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now we've been through this before. Remember, he will cause to come down for you the revival, the former revival and the latter revival. You and I, under this messenger in this last hour, we're under two revivals. Now this is one part I didn't bring out, so this is the part that's going to fill in a little bit. We are now not under two revivals, but we came under two revivals. The first revival of Brother Branham was the healing revival. Amen. Remember, the messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. But now Brother Brown tells you that it wasn't his message. So that revival was for the world. That revival was for the worldwide. He went seven times around the world. But in 1962, 1963, 64, 65, somewhere in there, all those sermons, they were honed down to one thing, and that was a word revival. An opening of the seals where he may have taught them a little bit different before, but now when the angel met him down there in New Mexico or wherever he was, Arizona, and told him to go back to Jeffersonville, he came with an open book. And now you and I are living under that revival, the revival of the open book,
right.
Where God's not going to wink in our ignorance because of us not knowing what's going on. Because with an open book, listen, John didn't eat a closed book.
Right.
John ate an open book. So whatever that book was, it's now in John.
Yes, that's right.
According to Revelation 10, right?
Yeah.
So who was John typing? The whole bride.
Yeah.
So that word, opening of the word, is not just for William Marion Branham.
Amen.
It's for you and I.
Yes.
He brought his former rain, which is a teaching rain. But the latter rain is a harvest of what was planted. 1962, Brother Brown preached, the spoken word is the original seed. Now that seed has been planted. Brother Brown said, Oral Roberts planted a seed, Billy Graham planted a seed, and I planted a seed. Now that seed of Oral Roberts and Billy Graham was not a word revival. Go back to the characteristics of a word revival. Word revival has to be 100% word correct. They were both Trinitarians. They both baptized in the name, Father, Son, and Holy. Now God winked at their ignorance. Because you know what they were to do? They were to blind the people. Remember, they were the two prophets that went to Sodom and Gomorrah and blinded the people. But remember, one stayed back. With Abraham, one stayed back. And that person revealed to Abraham that he was going to have a promised son and he was going to take a body change. Listen, them people in Sodom and Gomorrah didn't take a body change. They died. By fire and brimstone. By what? By what Oral Roberts and Billy Graham preached to this world. That revival is over with. But that revival is what the denominations are still living under. And that's what I said before. Are we still living under? You know, hey, I'm going to say it anyway. I know they came out not too long ago with a tape of just Brother Brown's prayer line. That's okay. That's not a word revival. That's not going to do anything to you but make you feel better. And maybe give you faith for a body healing. But that's not the word. That's part of the word. You can't take healing out of the Bible. Can't take laying on hands out of the Bible. But now the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't even say pray for them. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. You don't have to put the two together. We're praying for people now that we can't physically touch, and we're believing that God's going to heal them. But that's not the revival we're under. Listen. And the floor shall be full of wheat. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts eat. Cankerworm, caterpillar, pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. If you'll read the restoration of the bride tree, you'll understand that those different bugs, same bug, different stage of the bug, did different things to this bride tree. The same thing with all the organizations and all the different things. God cannot give a word revival to anyone but the bride of Jesus Christ. I hope you see that. I don't want to be exclusive. God, remember Brother Brown said, he said God believed in segregation. Now, you know we don't. Common human segregate. We don't believe that. But God said, separate yourself. God said, come out of her, my people. God is a segregationist. He doesn't want us to go down into Egypt. We'll read in about it to end. He told Abram to stay where he was at. But because of a famine, Abram went to Egypt and got out of the will of God. And that's what we're going to talk about later on. We'll get to that famine in just a minute. And I will restore to you. So there's a promise of restoration to years that locust has to eat, cankerworm, pommel worm, caterpillar, my great army. And remember, this restoration of a bride tree is a word revival, not a denominational revival. Listen, Brother Brown tells us the denominations is what eat it down. The denominations was the problem of the eating down. Amen. And I don't mean Baptist Methodist. I mean anything. Listen, anything contrary to the word of God is a denomination. Amen. Right. You can be a one man denomination. You can sit here and denominate and die. Yes. Because of what? Your own thoughts. Let's look at number four. Excuse me. Broken cistern. Brother Brown says, talking about that water bubbling up out of the ground. It don't need a filter, no strainer, no pumping, no jerking, no nothing else. It's just there bubbling up. So what's pushing you? What's pushing you? What's pushing you today? There's something inside pushing you to go to church, want to go to church, to want to mash play, to want to do the right things. Because it's got to come from in here. We can sit here, listen, you can sit here and you... You can't save your kids. You can't save your wife. You can't save nobody. But if you'll live long enough of a life before them, and they walk up to that fountain and see that you've got something bubbling up inside of you that the common world does not have. What Brother Dale's always said, he says, can our family really see that we're different? Can they really see that you're committed to what you're doing? If you're not committed, then they're going to see it. They're going to see it, whether you think you're fooling them or not. Like I told you about many times, you know, Jim's dad, when I got converted, there was a lot of going on saying, well, he'll be right back to what he was doing before. Well, that's been 20 years ago, so I think we're okay. But they're watching you to see if that's just, oh, one of them trends, you know. He used to test us, remember? He'd come to visit us, always on Sunday. Right, Jim? Always. He'd come Saturday night, always on Sunday. Why? He wanted to test us. We never missed church because we had her daddy in the house. Never. I don't see how some of you can do that. I know your kids are important, but your soul is more important than that. And they're watching you. Now Jim's dad comes to church with us when he's here. Because he knows he's going to sit at home by himself. If you do that for your kids, they might get saved. But when you stay home with them on Sunday, I'm just saying, they watch every move we make because we are different. The community watches everything you do. And listen, most of them want to see you slip up. Because they're searching for something to catch you with. But don't worry. If you're washed by the water of the Word and you keep that thing stirred up inside of you, there will not be a lull in your Christianity. Amen? There won't be, folks. I mean, that's what people are looking for. And you know what? You might be, Brother Brown said, just be real salty. Remember what he told his that sister? Said, be real salty. What about a man that walks in and plays, pretends to be drunk, and he knocks all the food off of the table because his friend, he said, watch this, watch my wife. Right. Said she didn't pick the plate up and hit the guy with it. She picked everything up and said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. Saved her husband and her friend. Because what happened? Because what's rain? We've been talking about revivals. You go stand out under a water and you're going to get wet. Amen?
Amen.
You go stand under water, you're going to get wet. Our problem is we put the umbrella up. Let's finish reading this. We'll not get done. Broken cistern. It don't have to depend on local rains to fill it up. Rains are revivals. Where that fountain, that's at that fountain of life. Where the carcass, now what's a carcass? The word. Where the word is, the eagles will gather. You don't have to pump up a revival. You don't have to pump up nothing. It'll just come right straight out. It'll flow right out of you. Let's go to the next one. Psalms 1 verse 2. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what I was talking about. I know there's a lot of things that we have to do, but my heavens, John and Charles Wesley, there were 17 kids in that family. She did not have a washing machine. She didn't have a microwave. She didn't go to Walmart and buy instant dinners for their kids. She cooked 17 meals two or three times a day, but she had enough time to sit down and teach them kids about God. And that John and Charles Wesley came out of that, which caused a revival across the whole world. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, we've covered this before, but we're going to cover it a little bit more. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, wisdom, faith, all those different things that we look at. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now remember, we talked about the other day, the whole world can be in a famine or be in a drought, but whatever's planted by that river, it's going to be green. So if we get ourselves planted by the rivers of living water, now what Brother Brown talked about this, watch. Number five, planting the vine and where to plant it. Now are you planted by the rivers of water? What water? That smitten Christ, it was out of the rock flowed waters to save a perishing people from death. Christ was smitten and out of his body come forth the Holy Spirit that perishing people might not die but have eternal life. Are you, there's many different things God promised to heal. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement our peace upon him. With his stripes we were healed. Rivers. Rivers of one water. Now don't get hurt by this. Rivers of one water, the Holy Spirit. There are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, rivers of one water. You get a fountain. You get rivers, five rivers. The only way you're going to get it is through those five rivers. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The Bible says in Ephesians what? For the perfecting of the saints. We know that here, but somebody may be listening in that has a question about things that go up on up north. But they're first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, rivers of one water. Listen, folks, you're deceived if you can't see that you need apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. You're a deceived person because you got to take that part out of the Bible. You can't get perfected without it. Amen. Like I said, we're herd animals. We're sheep. All of us are sheep. We need a shepherd. We have the great shepherd, but he said the great shepherd is water. One water. Our great shepherd is the Holy Spirit. Remember, God sent the Holy Spirit to what? Lead you and guide you into all truth. But he flowed it down through, and I'll read you a quote here in just a little while or maybe this evening. Where it flows now, not through the church, but through you. It flows through you. We'll read that maybe this afternoon if we get to it. All right, look. Revelations 1, verse 15. This is just kind of the other day we were going through this. And even Sister Esther Black thanked me for preaching on logs. His head and his hair was white as wool. As white as snow, and his eyes was flames of fire. Now what is this? Revelations 1:15. John turns and looks, and what does he see? He sees in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, or the midst of the seven church ages, he sees a man with these characteristics. And his feet like in defined brass, as if we're burning in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. All right, Brother Bram says in the seal of God, this is number six. I want you to watch this. Now, this great subject we had last night, the first night, was the church in the church age. How that we've seen Jesus standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Look upon his jasper and sardius stone, the beginning and the ending, Reuben and Benjamin. See the seven candlesticks or seven lampstands standing in a rainbow over it as a covenant. How appeared. And his voice was the voice of many waters, both Christ and the church speaking together. With a golden girdle around about the breast part of the church, covered over, feminish, holding the gospel, holding the righteousness of Christ over the church. How can we fail? When we have the righteousness of Christ, we're robed in his righteousness. All right? Now look at number seven. Brother Bram's talking about now remember, you got to watch what he talks about the church and the bride, because at that moment over there a few minutes ago, he was talking about the bride, not the church nominal. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Lord, y'all need to go to bed early. Daddy sees y'all in the morning. I thought I saw all you sleeping ones in the afternoon. Pinch yourself. Do like I do. Sit on the edge of the seat. If you fall, everybody know you was asleep.
Right.
You hadn't seen me fall yet, have you? Now let's see, we're soon down to the end of the page now. Hair like wool, eyes flames of fire. And his feet like brass, it is hot in here, burned in a furnace. And his voice, the sound of many waters. Now look, Brother Brown says, voice of many waters. What does waters represent? Now remember, rain and water is a revival. We just saw that. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
If you want to mark it down, turn to Revelation 17:15. You'll find the Bible said, the waters which thou sawest is thickness and multitudes and people and tongues. All right, voice. What a horrible thing for a drifting soul on the sea of life. No pilot to guide him. You know, we were talking the other day about that little rudder on the back of the boat. Loose, floating with the tides to hear the roar of the great cataracts, the falls. What a horrible thing would be for a soul drifting. Voice of many waters. What is his voice? It's the judgment. The voice of the ministers. Through the Holy Spirit. You got to put them two together. There's ministers that preach, but there's ministers that preach by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's cried out to the people in every age standing there. The voice of many waters cried out to what? To the thickness and multitude, to the people. The voice of those seven stars in his hand to every church age. Preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues, the power of God, the resurrection of Christ. The second coming, divine judgment, the voice of many waters came forth from this one that looked like the Son of Man, many waters. Everybody got that? Say amen. Now we'll watch this. This is in the Laodicean church age. I just picked this up a few minutes ago. Let's read this. Let's read the whole quote because we get the whole thought. A momentary consideration. Now remember, this is Laodicean church age. This is the only church age where Jesus Christ has been put out of the church.
Right.
He's standing on the outside of the church trying to get back in. And I've all, as I've always said, for some of you that are new and are you need to hear this, because look, who was that standing on the outside of the church? God in human flesh.
Yes.
The Son of Man. Not a spirit. The Holy Spirit's still in the church. But the Son of Man's not in the church anymore. The Son of Man, he's been driven out, and he's trying to get back in. I'm talking about message churches. And especially them out there. We've got to get the revelation that God in human flesh is here now. Listen, an open door is an open book. A closed door, it's a closed book. They've closed him out.
Amen.
To let the real revival start in the people, which is a word revival.
Yes.
In the dark ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. Now remember, Luther couldn't start a revival like a word revival that was, because it was, the book was closed. The just shall live by faith. That's all he had. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. Amen?
Amen?
God sealed in the, under Martin Luther, God sealed in a group of bride
yes.
that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it was under a closed book. It was not under an open book.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Yes.
There was only a certain scripture that they had that they went in on.
Right.
Because listen, even though God winked at the ignorance of the people, he never, never, ever condones false doctrine.
That's right.
He allows it to happen. Brother Brown says, because of the ignorance of the people, God said, okay. But Luther's message was the just shall live by faith, which was God's mind coming to Martin Luther to bring a people out of a Catholic church. But they still baptized wrong. They still had a wrong doctrine of the Trinity. But God winked at their ignorance because it was a closed book. It was only open to one page. The just shall live by faith. And that's not a full word revival. That is a what? Remember, they were reformers. They were reformers. It started a restoration, but Luther and Wesley were reformers. Because what they did is they reformed the people out of the Catholic Church. Wesley reformed the people out of the Lutherans that had went back toward the Catholic doctrine. But when you see Brother Branham comes in the end time, it's not, it's a restoration.
Amen.
I will restore, I will turn the heart of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. We're living under not just Luther and Wesley, that's part of the foundation. But that was Reformation. You and I cannot live under Reformation. You're not even born again if you live under Reformation.
Right.
Because Luther's doctrine was that the just shall live by faith. I can go to the beer joint and I can smoke a stogie and talk about God. God winked at their ignorance. They could do that. Not in this age you can't do that. Why? Because the book's been open. The full revelation is that that's a part of God, justification. But you got to move from that into sanctification. You got to move from that to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the word has been restored full and unadulterated by the prophet in the end time. Everybody got that? Say amen. That's just real simple.
Amen.
The Lutherans spake for God at that time, but they organized. Look, and again, the pure word was lost for organization. Tends toward dogmas and creeds and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. At one time they were. But God moved on and they didn't. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice of the word for his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistle read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until in this last day there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Final voice, under her messenger. Luther's message was not final because it was Reformation.
Right.
Wesley's message was not final. Reformation.
Right.
Even Pentecost with the restoration of the gifts. Not final. You and I are the final voice to the final age. What? The voice of many waters. The voice of many people. Yes, sir. Look, the church, now he's talking about the church, he's not talking about the bride. The church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her, what? The church. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride.
Amen.
He didn't just say the prophet.
Right.
He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her.
Amen.
Yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter, Revelation 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Have you ever read that in the Bible right there at the very end? It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear direct from God as at Pentecost. But of course, that word bride, we're talking about the word revival, that word bride will be repudiated as in the first church age. Now, he has cried out to this last age, you have the word. You have more Bibles than ever, but you're not doing anything about the word except dividing and hacking it into pieces.
That's right.
You can't hack a word revival up. A word revival is restoring of the true word of God, pure and unadulterated, through the voice of the bride in the end time. Look. Taking what you want and leaving out what you don't want. You are not interested in living it, but debating it. Wow. I would sooner you were cold or hot. If you were cold and rejected it, I could stand that. If you get white hot to know its truth and live it, I would praise you for that. But when you simply take my word and don't honor it, I in return must refuse to honor you, I will spew you out, for you nauseate me. Wow. For you nauseate me. That's pretty tough for a prophet to say those words. But what are we doing in the end time about it? Let's go to John 7, verse 37. And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood in the last day. In the last day? He must be talking about somebody in the last day. That great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. What it? Rivers of life. All right, let's go to number 8, getting in the Spirit. This is what we were talking about the other day. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival. It's what I've been trying to, you know, you need the rudder. You're in the water. Everything's good. You're in the water. But what if, you know, the winds of sickness blows you this way? The winds of this blows you that way? That's okay. But if you got, if you don't have a rudder, you just might get blown all the way off into the falls. But if you got a little bitty thing called a rudder, they ain't but about that long on a little boat. Even on a huge boat, it's not very big. But what does it do? It's a rudder. And it doesn't matter if the wind's blowing in that direction. If you put that rudder in there, now the boat may go out there a little ways, but it's going to go the way that rudder says for it to go. And that rudder is your Holy Ghost that will lead you and guide you, direct you into all truth. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival, not whooping it up or something, but by praying it down until there's a revival strikes your heart. And here's what we were talking about the other day. Until all the logs of ecclesiasticism and all the logs of fanaticism and all the logs of system and all the logs of unbelief flow out. And then the water of God comes falling down upon you. There you are. I didn't bring something out the other day when I was preaching here, but I preached this same thing at Brother Dutch's and it struck me. You know what logs are? There is never a live log. A log is dead. If you see a log laying in the woods, it's dead. Now, if you see a tree standing up, it's alive. But if you cut the life out of it and it falls, it becomes a log. A log is dead. So whatever your ideas are that's clogging up your water, it's dead. You know what? It's dead wood and you can't even build a fire with it. It's soaked with water. It's wet. But if you need a fire, here we go. Getting in the spirit. He said, it was out there one time perishing in the same way that you are. Now there's channels out there. There's plenty of channels where that rock still lays in the wilderness yonder. But he said, you got to dig out a lot of stuff. Remember he's talking about Elijah, Elisha, talking about digging ditches in the Bible. Remember what happened? They dug a they dug ditches and filled it up with water. And then when the enemy got up in the morning and looked out across the field, they saw that water and the way the sun was shining on it, it looked like blood. They thought that somebody had come in and destroyed their enemy. So they go rushing into camp. But when they do, they're waiting on them. The Israelites are waiting on them and they kill them all. They kill the other group. All right. So what's Brother Branham saying? It ain't start a new organization. That's the vision tonight, brother. Just dig out what's in it. That's right. The first thing, that old rotten log of organization, throw it out of the channel. The channels of God's blessing is all stopped up tonight. Organization logs laying in them. Then another log laying out there called the no such thing as the Holy Ghost. If you dig down and strike that log, throw it out. That's what we were talking about. Remember Sister Shepherd's dream? Even with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was a man pouring water in that top. It went down into the person. And what came out? Trash. Dead sticks. Dead logs. Amen? Same way with us. The statue of a perfect man. That's our problem. If we're a born again, strike that off. You don't have logs in your soul. There is nothing dead in your soul if you're born again. You're alive. You're that tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. You listen to those five rivers of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And that, what? That nourishes your soul. There's no such a thing as a baptism. Throw it out. If you dig down and strike that log, throw it out. There's no such thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's just for the disciples only. Dig it out. The Holy Ghost was just for the apostles. Dr. Simon Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it's for you and for your children, them that are far off. What'd he do? He took them back to the Bible. Great fine Pentecostal brother told me not long ago, said, we don't need any more divine healing. I wouldn't even let it be practiced in my church. He said, we got fine doctors and things today that takes the place of that. That's what I told y'all the other day. We got doctors. So, you know, divine healing, we need divine healing. You can't take it out of the atonement. It's in there. But do we have to depend on that for your soul survival? No. No, your soul depends on the Word of God. Amen. Jesus told him, said, don't worry about the guy that can kill your body. He said, worry about that guy that can kill your soul. Amen. Mm-mm-mm. See what kind of an old log gets in there? What does it do? It stops the flow of the water. Elisha's vision showed him that out there in that wilderness, right where the fruit was dried up, Don't start a new organization, another rain or something. Just clean out the channels where the first rain can flow. The water's there. Listen, if you're not today, let me tell you how you get into a revival, a word revival is. You remember when you got born again? How fresh and new. You didn't want to do anything but listen to tapes, read books, talk to brothers, come to church. If you're not doing that now, revive what that was before. That means you're in a revival. Get back to those simple things. The water's there. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that spent rock was the wilderness, and it's still here tonight. Thank God. Jesus cleaned it out for them at Calvary, but they came right back around and throwed the logs back in, blocked off all. You know what it does to throw a log in a channel? What does it? Well, then all kind of dirt hits against the log and washes up. First thing you know, you get all the water backed up like the beavers do and make a dam. And you get nothing to go through it. That's right. We got too many beaver preachers today trying to dam all the water up and say, this is ours. This is just us here. This belongs to us. And what happens to it? It becomes stagnated. Now, it's water, but it's not flowing water. Rivers of living water. It doesn't say puddles. Puddles get stagnant. Rivers of living water. I remember, back when Brother Branham was coming up, you could really stop by the creek and pick you up a little bit of water and drink it because it came through all the rocks and all the things and it was purified. You may not be able to do that now because of man, but it really is, that's the best water there is. Is water that's cool water right out of a stream. It becomes stagnated. That's what's the matter with a lot of our organizations trying to back up the water for your organization. It gets stagnated. Stagnated. We don't want it to be stagnated. We want that water that first saved us. We want it to continue to flow freely. We want to be able to, sure, have the gifts of God and all the different things. Live the life before others. But do we really want a word revival? Do we really want not just the do's and don'ts, but we want the word revival to where the word, remember what I told many times before, you think about this. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was God Almighty in human flesh, right? Amen? He was God Almighty in human flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, one man. But now, he has given it to us, and now we're God in human flesh, walking on the face of the earth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You and I are God made flesh. We are God made manifest in another form. So what are we to do? Act like it. Never was a time when Jesus, like I said before, Jesus didn't get up in the morning, about middle of the day, he come in to the disciples and he said, man, I've had a problem with my daddy all day. We've been disagreeing all evening. He never said that, folks. He said, I only do that, what the Father shows me. So it had to be the Word of God. Listen, Jesus' life was built around what that Old Testament said about him.
Amen.
There was no New Testament. He was writing the New Testament in his life. But he lived the Old Testament.
Yes.
That one quote. On the great day of the feast, you'll remember there was three feasts that every Israelite, boy, man, had to attend. Now, I can't remember them all, but there's three of them. All the time it says, in the day of the feast, Jesus was in the temple.
Right.
He did not do what the law said. Even when the leper was healed and all the different things, he'd say, go show yourself to the priest.
Amen.
You go do the law of Moses.
Right.
Remember, he came under the law. He fulfilled the law and then made that law live.
Yes.
Told somebody, well, you know, you drive by and you look and you see this big sign. It's got the Ten Commandments and you got all the Ten Commandments. And the guy's sitting on the porch drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette. I mean, what is that? That's not a word revival. You and I know better. But that's what God promised. What happened? Let's go here and we'll quit right here. We'll start this afternoon. We're going to read this, set a stage for this afternoon. All right, Amos 8. Let's go back to Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread and a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Let's see what famine means. The word famine in the Greek lexicon or Hebrew lexicon means hunger. Famine in the land are of Jehovah's word, figuratively, which is, that's what it is. Cause we have no hunger. You're not hungry today. If you're hungry today, in a few minutes, you're fixing to go get some food. Stores will be open. You won't have to go down there and ration it out. It's going to be right there for you. So it's a famine of hearing the word of God. Lack of food. Famine in the land and the nation and famine of Jehovah's word. Figuratively. There's four things that famine does. Everybody ready? Listen to this and we'll stop in just a second, okay? And you can go eat and get more sleepy for the afternoon. Number one, a famine moves people. Think about it. Whoever wanted to stay in a famine-ridden land, and I'll read it to you by four scriptures, Ruth, Abram, David, and Elijah. A famine moves people.
Right.
Number two, it's because of a lack of water. Rain.
Right.
Revival.
Yeah. Right.
During the time of famine, nothing grows. There's no growth.
Amen.
That's where you get all them logs from.
Yeah.
All that dead stuff. And number four, it kills things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing alive in the famine. It's all dead. So now let's go to Genesis 12:10. I'm going to read you these four and then we'll stop right here. Genesis 12:10. And there was a famine in the land. Now read how many times, if you keep going through the Bible, put in the word famine, there's like 86 times. Every time you see a famine, somebody moved. All right. There was a famine in the land and Abram went down to Egypt. Now, I didn't bring the quote, but Brother Brown said that was Abram's mistake. He left the promised land because he thought he could find food somewhere else. So he goes into Egypt. He gives his wife away and all these different things. Totally gets out of the will of God, but he moves. Now, watch. Ruth. Ruth 1, verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife. Now, who is this? This is Naomi and her husband and her two sons. As soon as they went down to wherever they were going to, they died. Now, we know for one thing's for sure, if they hadn't went down there, Ruth wouldn't have come into being. But there was a famine, and they moved, and the two sons, and remember, all the three sons, the two sons and the husband died. All right? Let's go to 2 Samuel 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered him, said, this is why you're having a famine. It is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. Saul done something wrong. God caused a famine to come into the land. 1 Kings 17, we'll get to these this afternoon. We'll explain each one. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, thou shalt not be dew. Listen, you can stand something when there's dew on the ground. A little something will grow. Remember, especially down here in the south, you come outside in the morning, especially changing the seasons like we're coming to, and the ground's just wet with dew. No dew. No rain. And we know for 3.5 years it didn't. But he said, according to my word. Now what happened is, musicians come, what happened? Elijah went to a widow woman and right in the middle of a famine, God gave her plenty. He said, you bring me the last bit of food you got. The famine was so sore, nothing grew. Everything was dead. She had just enough oil and just enough meal to make one cake and bake it. You know Brother Brown explains all that. We'll get into that this afternoon. Bakes that cake and she didn't eat it. She gave it to Elijah. She obeyed the word of the Lord. Saul disobeyed the word of the Lord and stayed in the famine for 3 years. This lady, this woman that this Elijah come to in the midst of a famine said, "Lady, if you'll do this for me, your cruse will never run dry. Every time you reach down and get a meal out of the barrel, it'll appear right back again. Until this famine is over, you'll not have a famine. You'll live in the midst of this thing." So a famine, now a famine is bad. But when a famine moves you to the right place, because what it is, it's not a famine now for food, physical food, it's for the Word of God. And if God moves you to a place where the Word of God is, Shunammite woman, He is sustaining you during a time of famine promised over the whole world. The worst famine that's ever been is a famine for hearing the Word of God. Let's stand. That woman got down to her last one cup of meal and one little cup of oil to bake that one last cake. She was right in the midst of the famine, not at the end of it. And she met Elijah. And Elijah told her, doesn't matter what goes on out in this world. Doesn't matter now. There's already been condemnation in this world. You don't worry about it though, because you and your household will be saved. Amen. You and your household will sustain life in the middle of this, because what have you done? You found the water of living water of life, and you're drawing from that. You and I today draw from that water. It's living water. I've never seen anybody. Oh yeah, you can drown. But remember, you can do without food for a long time, but you can't do without water, but just for a week or maybe 7, 10, maybe days. Water has life in it. River of water. There's a river of life flowing out through each and every one of us. Has Elijah spoke to you, folks? I'm asking you, has Elijah spoke to you and told you, don't worry about that famine out there, because I'm going to bring you the Word of God. Amen. And I'm going to bring it through rivers, five rivers of living water through five streams. Yes. And it's going to sustain you through this dry land that they call the world that we live in. You and I have been called out by an Elijah prophet in the end time. And he told us, if you'll do what I say, your cruse will not run dry, neither will your meal barrel ever get to the bottom. Amen? Amen. Let's sing a song.
Oh, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Spirit, you alone are my heart.
We tried to drink water from a lot of different places. Let's drink it from the fountain of God, the river of life.
And you are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king.
Hallelujah.
And
that your desire today? Let's lift in our hands and praise Him. Oh, for You alone are my strength, my shield. He gave that widow woman some strength because she could eat and stay full. Oh, You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Desire. Only You can satisfy. Oh, You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye.
Sing it to Him.
For You alone are my strength, my shield. To You does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I want to worship Thee.
You ever thought about that?
Amen.
Man lives their whole life worshiping all kind of things. Money, popularity, having a bigger this, having a better this, having a better that. It don't cost you one dime. Not one dime to lift your hand and say, Father, I need something. You don't even have to go to a secretary. Father, I need something. Today I need, and fill in the check. And we've come into a place to where you don't even need His signature anymore. Your signature is just as good as the Father's signature, because it is the Father through you doing the work. That's adoption. That's what we're going to maybe this afternoon touch on, that, because where's the voice of the resurrection? Where is it? It's in the bride. It will not come from a loudspeaker. It will not come from a physical trumpet or a piece of instrument. The instrument God wants to use is you. You're the instrument it's going to come from. It can't come from anything else. Because He has what? Entrusted His word to me and you. He's entrusted by a fivefold ministry. And for you to receive it, though, and for you to live it. It's an inexhaustible, Brother Brown said, inexhaustible fountain. Don't think you're going to be, well, I don't want to be so gluttonous, Lord. I don't want to drink so much today. No, don't be like the little fish in the ocean. Think you might drink drink all the water. No. That river of life, let me tell you, that's a river of eternal life. That is eternal as you are, as eternal as the future home is. That water is eternal water that's flowing. Well, in symbol, it's flowing now in us. In symbolics, I have a river of life flowing out from each one of us. But one day we will actually, folks, this is a reality. We'll walk. Brother John, we'll be able to reach and get some of that water. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We'll be able to reach down and get us a cup and drink that water and just keep on walking. And then a million more years, you walk by that same river, you get you a little bit more water and you walk on down the road. You go get you a little bit of water and you walk down the road. I didn't bring this quote, but I'll tell you this before we leave. Brother Branham talks about, he said, all that river. He said, you know, he said, it goes down for a little ways. Think about a prophet, Brother Joe. This is God showing a prophet. He said, there's a bend in the river. He said, that's where you'll find me. Sitting at the bend of that river. He said, if you want to visit me, he said, there's just a bend in the river. He said, I'll be sitting in that bend. Now, boy, you're talking about being real. That was real. That's just real to me and you. Claim, you know what he done? He was claiming his own piece of property. And that's what the future home is, isn't it? It's you claiming your piece of property that's eternal. God bless you. Let's sing There's a River of Life, and we'll be dismissed.
There's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes that,
hey, you see these two? Watch, don't look, watch.
Open prison.
Make some noise.
The captive free. Oh.
give to me that later spent Dunley. Oh, there's a river of light flowing out from me. Makes a lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captive free.